This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Reacting to one of Ari's stories, if you are harming an autistic individual, you're the worst. You literally are the worst. It's awful when you hear stories like this. All right, so we have the story out of Georgia. Horrible story at the school where two teachers and two students were killed in, for Georgia, it was their deadliest school shooting ever. And so the New York Times looked at this, and this should tell you where we're at with school violence, school threats, credible threats, threats with no credibility at all, people thinking this is funny when it's not funny at all. So the Times looked at this and they did the work. In the 3 weeks since that happened, more than 700 children and teenagers involving a fourth grader, yeah, I said a fourth grader, have been arrested and accused of making violent threats against schools in at least 45 states. Just short of 10% were 12 or younger. I'm going to say this again because it captures an enormous problem we have in our country. And if it's at your school, you hear about it. I'm talking about just threats. So 3 weeks since the attacks in Georgia, which was taking place during our show, and we talked about it and became a huge story for about 4 or 5 hours. And then because so many other things happen in life and so many other threats happen, it certainly didn't back away at all for those who were touched by this story. But so the 3 weeks since that happened in Georgia, more than 700 children and teenagers. By the way, almost 10% were 12 or younger, have been arrested and accused of making violent threats against schools in at least 45 states. When you hear that, what do you want to say? And what the hell are we doing wrong that this is taking place at this startling, violent, frightening, unacceptable way? What do you want to say? I'd love phone calls and texts on this. 651-461-9226, thestylesfinancial.com, talk and text lines. In Georgia alone, Dave Harrigan, since the attacks of September 4th, 98 students in 56 counties were taken into custody in the 2 weeks since the attack. The copycat situation. I knew the numbers would be high, Dave. I did not think it'd be 700 kids and teenagers, close to 10%, 12 or younger, in not the entire school year, not the first semester, but in about 3 weeks since Georgia. What do you want to say about these horrible numbers?
Well, Chad, it's shocking and it's not surprising at the same time. Can that be true?
In this case, I think it is.
Yeah, it's. I don't know how you get through to kids that think perhaps this is funny, perhaps this is not a big deal, perhaps this is a, you know, that don't know that this is a sickness in this country that's now been around for multiple decades. The 700 threats and the amount of young kids, 10 to 12, are you kidding me? I don't know how do you run a school today? How do you run a district knowing there's probably a good chance a threat or multiple threats are coming your way throughout each school year? And you have to take them as seriously as they deserve to be taken, but you also need kids in school. And mm-hmm. I mean, as a parent, it's a struggle right now, because just last week there were two incidents at my child's elementary school. One was something going on in the community, and they, you know, locked down the school. No big deal inside the school; everything was fine. And the other turned out to be, I think, just a medical situation that was going on inside the school. Again, there was no threats of violence within the school. It was nothing even close to that. But I got a text, I got an email, I got an alert on one of the 73 apps on my phone. And the first thing it says, you know, something like urgent message from blah, blah, blah school. And I tell you what, that's the moment where your heart jumps in your throat. You gasp for breath for a moment as you open it, and you just pray it's not the message you don't want it to be. And the fact that we're now getting 700 threats around the country less than a month. It's 3 weeks since the shooting, and they did this, you know, research before this. Oh my goodness, what is wrong with America?
Yeah, and do we have? Automatically, you're immature, right? And we had a bit of the conversation picking up on Adam and Jordana's conversation, good and bad, and are you born that way, and what develops, what manifests. And some kids who have anger in their heart, have evil in their heart, have intent. Others might have mental health issues, and others might think this is funny. And there have been points in my life where I've laughed at a lot of things where if it was completely taken out of context, people would think, wait, you're really laughing at that? But not for one second would I ever contemplate. I know what I think's funny. I'm going to call my old high school, Armstrong High School, and I'm going to make a threat. Never, ever, ever. As a kid, I wouldn't have done that. Now, did I do other dumb things when I was a kid? Yeah, my hands up in the air. But this and... Then we get into the conversation of, well, if the publicity about it or the coverage, because that's what it really is inspiring individuals to act in this derelict way, what do? You still have to cover if two people, Dave, are teachers are shot and two kids are shot at a school. We're just going to say, because we're worried about copycats, and we should be, that when that happens, if that happens, and we're right here covering metro area and Minnesota and just pick a town, it happens. And so we can't cover it because we're worried it's going to inspire other kids who might actually act on it. Or Mike think it's funny? That's not how it works. And I guess some will glorify. That's certainly not what this show does or this station does. But I want to pause here so we have plenty of time to get to this. Again, since the Georgia killings on September 4th, 700 different threats from kids, teenagers, and just short of 10% of these threats coming from kids under 10 threatening violence with school. What does it say to you? And what realistically can we do to dramatically slow this down? Punishment, awareness, guidance, greater communication. What do you want to say? Because we've had fun with lighter topics already. Make me laugh. And where do you want to see music? And anytime Rice is on, it's fabulous. This is scary life because how, as a parent, when Dave's pointing out when he's getting notice on one of his 175 apps about some of school, how do you, I mean, you don't want to desensitize, his daughters are there. And are we going to have some individuals who sadly, wrongly think it's funny to do this? Yeah. But at this rate, because Polonies weren't just somebody trying to be funny. They were individuals who were trying to create that heightened awareness because maybe they had intent. Maybe they were planning it. Or maybe it wasn't being funny. They just wanted they have hate in them and wanted to do this. How do we slow this down? Because this is not acceptable in any way whatsoever. I know we have so many 350 million people and certain things we just can't stop. This has to be slowed by a lot. Love your phone calls in this. Agree, disagree, provide some more information. Let me know. 651-461-9226.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Number of reasons why the Oakland A's are leaving Oakland. Top of the list, they have an incompetent owner. And so today they're playing their final game at the Coliseum. So Dave is playing music, artists somehow tied to Oakland, California. We're talking about this story that the New York Times has, that when you look at the Georgia shooting, the high school shooting, where two kids and two teachers were killed. Since then, 3 weeks, more than 700 children and teenagers have been arrested and accused of making violent threats against schools in at least 45 states, and almost 10% were 12 or younger. In Georgia alone, and this is 2 weeks after the September 4th attack, 98 students in 56 counties were taken into custody. What is going on and what needs to happen quickly, decisively, to bring these numbers down in a large way? What do you want to say? A lot of text coming in. I appreciate that. 651-461-9226. among the texts. I would be interested in these children who are arrested and what their home life looks like. This, to me, seems like a cultural problem, like many other issues facing our society today. All right, Dave, when you hear the text and like cultural problem, what jumps out at you about that?
I don't know if cultural is the right word, but we're going to stick with it. We do have some sort of cultural problem in this country where violence has been glorified for a very long time, whether it be in the media, movies, etc. Maybe part of that is, you know, we're reaping what has been sown in America for a long time. And, you know, violence on TV, even if it's real life, it doesn't feel so real when you're just seeing it on the news and it's not happening to you personally.
Yeah, I mean, cultural problem, that can mean a lot of things. And I guess I don't know in this case. I will say what is incredibly obvious, though. This is happening all across this country, in affluent, poor, one-parent, two-parent, private schools, public schools. The days of, wait a second, it can't happen there, they're long, long gone. Long gone.
They were gone with the first one we all remember, Columbine.
Yes. Right? Beautiful suburb. Not there. And, of course, parenting matters a lot. And we talk all the time about nature versus nurture. And every one of us knows stories in our own life where you see a kid and the kid is just causing all sorts of issues. Disrespectful. And then you meet the parents and they're great. Or the opposite happens. Or it's a one-parent person and the kid's magnificent. And there's two parents and it doesn't work out that way. Because there are people who, no matter when we talk about this, well, I always say, well, it's got to be two parents. Listen, the better guidance and adults who are around kids, the better. So sure, if you have two loving parents who are dedicated to their children and are committed to it, fabulous. If you have two jackasses who are selfish and don't care, give me the one parent over. If the one parent is the great parent, give me that every time. So let's look case by case. Let's never diminish the role of parenting, but let's not act like every situation is solved if you have two parents, because it just isn't. More texts. I wanted to call in, but I'm still crying over the 700 kids causing violence. I'm sorry. There's a lot of bad parental guidance in our country. I'm reading the text here. Too many people having children that obviously shouldn't. But you guys at CCO don't seem to see that. When you grow up in a happy family with good family times, like getting together with the grandma and grandpa and family gatherings, talking to the kids. Most of these kids don't have what I just said. Prove me wrong. Try this new invention called Google. It's not that hard. Many of these kids had two parents. Many of these kids had opportunities for success. How many times do we see parents who are absolutely horrified and shocked by what their kids are doing? Again, I'll repeat, I would much, much prefer if you have two people love each other, set great examples for their children. Give them opportunities to learn. Give them opportunities when they fail, that there's discipline, where there's boundaries. But when the love is there, But Dave, to act like it never happens or it's just a minuscule amount when it comes from a family where things are traditionally happy, that's a lie. But to act like parenting doesn't matter is also insulting to reality. But again, in life today, this case and other cases, Dave, people want to just say it has to be in this silo or that silo. We can't have issue. We can't have examples where it's happened in both and almost all cases.
Yes, every kid has. Obviously, the parents are playing a major role in their lives for, you know, since they were born. But there's so many different external factors. You know, whether it's friends, whether it's media, whether it's social media, whether it's, you know, the teachers, whether it's just the neighborhood you grew up in. I mean, you can't put this on simply one thing and say, well, fix that and problem solved. It's far more than that.
More texts. Are kids getting information, instructions, dares on social media about threatening violence at school? If so, we need to look at the greater pressure, controls of social media for minors. It seems as a society we become numb and tone-deaf to school violence. As a retired teacher who has three daughters who are elementary school teachers, I'm worried about their safety as well. Yeah, correct. My daughter grew up with all of his family members getting together, going to a cabin. Family matters. Not only do you have your parents answer when you do dumb teenage things, which they all do, you have an answer to all your relatives that you have known. Kids do dumb things, but family ties are important. They are. I'm not denying that. But when some are saying it's the only solution and it never happens in these cases, that just isn't correct. More text. What's changed? Bad parenting? Good parenting? There's always been both. That's not the problem. Social media is the culprit. These kids are looking for attention, clicks, and followers. Dave, to act like social media isn't a huge part of this is just sticking your head in the sand, right?
It certainly is. Yeah, it's just one, you know, one more way that these that people are able to find out, people are able to learn more, and like you said, the copycat situation. Well, social media spreads it faster than anything else.
It's pretty sad. Seeing if there's one more we want to get to. Well, the follow-up to the one texter who was talking about parenting. Chad, I'm not saying that not being married together anymore is bad. I'm saying that growing up together with a good family, that is actively in their lives matters. I agree. It does. In most cases, it gives you a better chance. I would, if you told me happiness, good parents, friends who matter, other relatives who matter, quality teaching. Yes, I'll take that every single time. Unfortunately, we see these examples. It's not that difficult to just pay attention to it. What happens under those circumstances also? It isn't just this is the only way it happens. And this is the way it goes wrong. If it was that easy, we would probably have greater ways to try to solve what is an incredibly difficult circumstance. It's 34 past 1 here on WCCO. Yeah, Dave Harrigan with a fair point. Why isn't this a day game for the Twins? I mean, come on, Twins.
Yeah, help the day game crowd out. Come on.
How about that crowd last night?
Not strong.
How about horrible?
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, let's just, we like to tell the truth here. The crowd was terrible last night. Okay, speaking of terrible, 700 violent threats against schools in 45 states in the 3 weeks after the Georgia killing. A lot of texts, a lot of calls. Let's go to the calls here. Charlie, thanks for your patience. Go ahead, you're on CCO.
Thank you, Chad. I just wanted to say it's a great question. I appreciate all that you and your staff at CCO do there to bring these type of topics to our attention.
Thank you.
I've been listening to all the – you bet. I've been listening to all the examples that you've given and everybody else has said, and you've touched on a lot of things, but then it made me think of maybe a couple other things that weren't necessarily talked about. One is the economics, or economics plays a role. You have single parents who work. They don't come home. The kids are by themselves, alone. They don't have supervision. They have the video games. I have a grandson that even at age, I think, 5, and another one at 9 or 10, and they were playing Grand Theft Auto. And there's a lot of violence in a lot of these video games, a lot of access to things that aren't good. And these children aren't supervised. And that has an impact. And the other thing that I was thinking about was I'm sure they must be profiling these children that are perpetrating these acts. They must be putting together some sort of profile. They have to. But it boils down to supervision, I think lack of it. And one other thing is activity. The children that don't have a parent or parents that are giving them any attention that they need is to put them in some sort of recreational activity. When I was a kid, we had rec centers that we could go to and, you know, play basketball or whatever. We always had something to keep us busy in a healthy way. So that's sort of my input on it.
Charlie, thanks for the call. Dave, I think Charlie makes excellent points. Excellent points. You know, one or two parents, if they're not home for multiple hours on a regular basis, depending upon how the child is doing, you just have a better chance if it's a good parent who's around the kids. The lousy parent, you know, would I rather have the kid alone? I guess it gets to degrees of how lousy that parent is, right, Dave? But a kid who finds something to do,
mm-hmm.
who finds a passion in life, I don't care if it's sports, it's music, it's a club, whatever. And if they are individuals who thrive or who are helped by being around other kids, peers, adults, sign me up. And if you become too isolated, that can lead to more issues. Now, we have individuals who are adults who prefer alone time. That's their preference. And so I get that. So we tried to do it too. Especially with Hunter and Griffin, it was more unique with Q because of his health issues. But let's try some things. The early years of your lives, because I don't think it just should be, hey, you know, I played hockey before, or I was in choir before, so you have to do it. And I think we did a pretty decent job of that to find out what they liked. Now, maybe everybody doesn't have that opportunity because they're so busy or finances. But I thought Charlie made a lot of good points that puts kids in a better position.
And we've heard it, I mean, in our own town, in Minneapolis, you know, with the problem with youth crime around here the last few years, even the, you know, police chief, other folks in Minneapolis have said part of the strategy to combat the youth crime is to find ways to get kids involved in community activities, whether it be, you know, as you said, community centers or sports or, you know, arts, whatever it is, to get the kids busy. You know, have them doing something that isn't just sitting around or finding ways to get in trouble because they're bored.
Stu, thanks for your patience. Really appreciate calling and go ahead. You're on WCCO.
Yes, Chad, the big thing is there's no consequences anymore. Back about 20 years ago, I was in Big Brothers Big Sisters, a young man, and his buddies got together on a Wednesday. It was a beautiful day in the winter, and they wanted to get out of school, so they called in a bomb threat. Well, there was the new caller ID, and he got caught, and the consequences was he got to go to a place over in West Hennepin County that used to be like a jail. And he got to spend almost a year in there. It scared him straight. He's an excellent young man, and he went joined the Army as an upstanding citizen, but his consequences woke him up.
Well, we see that way too much right now in a lot of major towns. Let's just zero in on Minneapolis. If you listen to this show, if you listen to other shows on the station, if you pay attention, year after year lately, we have way too many kids, 11, 12, 13, involved in crimes. And how many times is it Brian O'Hara on with us, on with somebody else saying, yeah, this is our fourth time with this kid. This is our fifth time with this kid. And that's led to some of my criticism towards Mary Moriarty, the Hennepin County attorney, where philosophically I get that 12-year-old versus 22 and a 32-year-old, but sometimes the parents are literally, Stu, and thanks for the phone call so much, are begging, Dave, you know this, begging, arrest my damn kid.
Yeah.
We're not doing enough. And that's part of what happened. The one that took place, what is it now, maybe 5-6 weeks ago, when it was the three or four kids carjacked, they got shot. They were trying to coordinate that between police and Moriarty's office, and it fell apart. Moriarty has the press conference first, and then O'Hara has to come out next day and basically say, we don't agree. I don't think she's telling the truth. And so consequences absolutely do matter. Trickster, you are next on WCCO.
Good afternoon, Chad. Echoing somewhat what Stu said, consequences coming into play. I turned back the clock 50, 60 years ago to a small town in southern Minnesota, Blue Earth. And when a member of the family or somebody you knew got into trouble, there was almost like a stigma, or there was something where people go, we really don't want to associate with this person, or the families, the siblings, other people in the community would also somewhat suffer from people who got into trouble. And I'm not saying you have to bring back the stigma type of thing, but I'm trying to figure out, where did we fall off the cliff to where that type of thing didn't occur, you know, to where there were ramifications within the family structure or the friendship structure of these kids and these students. And that's what we got to get clarified, and then we go from there. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, my friend. I appreciate it. I'm sure I'll see you at a game sometime soon. What do you say about that, Dave? The line of, boy, it's a reflection on everybody in the family versus, in some cases, where the parents are working their butts off and they're doing it. If we all knew what the parent or parents are doing, we'd say, wow, I can't blame them. The onus is really on the child.
Again, it's not a one-size-fits-all, right? It's every situation is different. Every kid is different. Every set of parents is different. And, you know, I look back to when I was a kid. I didn't make bomb threats. I didn't do a whole lot of much that would get me in trouble because I was terrified. I wanted to be the good kid. I did not want the wrath of my parents or teachers or anybody else, you know, and that was just me. Other kids I knew were good kids, but you know what? They didn't have that same fear.
Yeah. A little bit of healthy fear. Nothing wrong with that. As long as, you know, people don't take it too far. And sadly, some do. A little bit like that autism story that Ari was mentioning last hour, which sounded just awful. Let's pause and remind you of the Twins and the Marlins here on CCO tonight. En Vogue, right?
You got it. Formed in Oakland, CA.
Nice. Lindis Construction Time Check. We got 156. Time to replace your old windows with Infinity from Marvin and get how much off your installation? Up at 75% off your installation. DeRussia is going to join us 2:35. Among the topics we're going to try to get to early next hour, SNL at 50. who, if they retired locally, would really jar us with the news that Hoda is leaving the Today Show? And the greatest birthday present of your life, because some might say Michael Douglas recently, Dave Harrigan, had a pretty good birthday present.
Seems like a decent gift that I'm sure he enjoyed.
I think he did. And others actually can share partially in that birthday present. They track that down on Insta right now.